We are certainly at the midnight hour. And we need to take it seriously. Amen. We need to look at this important message this morning about the coming of the Lord and believe that this is not just a fable or something that's made up out of the imaginations of religious people. This is the Word of God. Amen. If you believe what the Bible says about salvation, which we talked about at the first of this month, if you believe what the Bible says about the baptism of the Spirit and about divine healing we just talked about last week, then you cannot ignore what the Bible says about the coming of the Lord. Amen. We're going to read this morning in the book of Titus. To start with, Titus, talking about the blessed hope of the church. The book of Titus, if you'll turn with me, chapter 2, and we're going to read beginning with verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The last verse there tells us that this is a message that needs to be preached. Speak these things. These things speak. This is something that needs to be declared. It needs to be a reminder. I mentioned that I grew up under a pastor who could hardly preach without getting around to the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. Then he'd throw in a little holiness for good measure. And then he'd preach on the Holy Ghost. And so if the next service, his topic was the Holy Ghost, he'd take off on that. And then before he got through, he would always get back to the rapture of the church and holy living. And those were his three favorite themes. And they're important themes, let me tell you. As far as the end time is concerned and the coming of the Lord is concerned. The church, every believer, should be living in anticipation, expectation. We're to be looking, we're to be longing, we're to love his appearing, and we need to live our lives as the early church did. Matter of fact, much of the time, their greetings and their salutations, when they met someone or when they would leave someone, they would many times use the word Maranatha. And that was just a reminder, a word that just says, he's coming soon, or the Lord cometh. He is coming. Maranatha. That was on their minds all the time. One of the things that happens, I believe, to most of us, and even Christians in the church, is we live our life and we get settled into our lifestyle, and we kind of like it. There are some advantages and some pleasures in this world, but we need to be living as Christians. The Bible says, strangers, pilgrims, understanding that we're looking for a city and our life and our permanence is not here in this world, but we are to live in expectation. The Bible, from our text this morning, calls the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, calls it the blessed hope. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we have a hope? We are looking forward to eternity. We don't dread it. Those that are unsaved, they dread what is going to happen. They dread the things that are around the corner, the things that are coming upon the earth. But the Christian, they see all these things as signs and evidences that we're getting closer to the end of this age, and that we need to be busy doing the work of the Lord, and we need to be living every day expecting that Jesus could come at any moment. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to just talk about three different words. The reason I want to go through these words is because we use them, but they're not necessarily biblical words, but they do have a biblical foundation. And the first word is the word imminent. You probably hear people talk about that word. We believe, and it's in part of our doctrinal statement, that we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And that word just simply means that it could happen at any moment. Amen. That it's likely to occur at any time. That's what the word imminent means. It's impending. It could happen just at any moment. The Christian needs to live because we believe that in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Another word that's not necessarily in the Bible in this form is the word rapture. Rapture. We sing about the rapture. We talk about the rapture of the church, but it's not really in our Bible in that form, the word rapture. But it comes from a word that means, the word in the New Testament, the Greek word is the word harpazo. And it means to seize or to catch away, to pluck, to pull, to take by force. When the rapture takes place, there is going to be such a power, because we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and there's going to be such a force and a power that gravity is not going to be able to hold the saints of God down. There is going to be this power that is going to draw us immediately into the clouds, into the presence of Jesus Christ, and we shall be changed instantly. Glory to God. And what a wonderful thing that is. But our word rapture actually comes from a Latin word, which was a word that was translated from the Greek, this very word, into the Latin, and it's our word rapture that we use. And so it just simply means a catching away, this pulling and seizing of the church out of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Amen. Glory to God. Now that's what we're waiting on. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven. Jesus said, "In like manner as you see me leaving," as he was being lifted up into the sky, "just like you see me leaving, you're going to see me at this very place, airborne. And when you do, then you're going to know that I'm getting ready to call the church home." Praise the Lord. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." There's that Greek word, harpazo. "That shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Don't be afraid of this. The Bible says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." To the church, it should be comforting for us to realize that very soon, Jesus is going to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Those of us that are left behind, the dead are going to rise first, and the rest of us, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be immediately changed. Glory to God. Amen. So we believe in the imminent return of the Lord. We believe that it's going to be a rapture of the saints of God, that the saints are going to be instantly caught up from this world into the presence of the Lord. The third word is the word pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation. There's a lot of people who believe different things about this, but primarily, a very large percentage of evangelicals, and I could go through the list of great teachers and preachers over the years that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and we believe, amen, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And by that I mean there's a seven-year period where the wrath of God is going to be upon this planet. It's going to be 7 years of all kinds of sorrow and trouble and calamity that's going to come to this earth. But we believe that the church is going to be caught up, that there is going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. And there are more than the verses I'm giving you, because I do not have the time to go into all of the places in the Bible where we can confirm this pre-tribulation rapture. But let me give you two. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. It is going to be a catching away, and the saints of God are going to escape this 7-year tribulation. Amen. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon this earth. So there's a trying, terrible time of tribulation that's coming to this earth. But the church, those that are born again of the Spirit of God, the church is going to be caught up, and we want to be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. Amen. Folks, we are so much closer than we could ever imagine to the coming of the Lord. As I was going through this over these last days, and I realized all so many more scriptures are being fulfilled that it's just unbelievable. It's more than you can comprehend. Dozens and dozens of these prophecies are fulfilled or are being fulfilled right now. And all of these things. So I don't have time in a service like this to go through all these things. But let me just go through a few of the reasons why I believe that Jesus is coming. The rapture of the church is imminent. It is imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. It might happen before 12 o'clock. It might happen before this evening. It might happen before tomorrow morning. And it is to be something that's in the forefront of your mind and your heart. And you should be living your life with an expectation. Jesus is coming. Amen. Our little children, they need to have that drilled into their hearts, into their spirits. When I was a boy, as I said, I heard it so much that I remember one time coming home. And my mom was always home when we came home from school. And I've told this before, but I came home from school and the house was empty. And things around the house just weren't quite like they usually were. And instantly I thought, the Lord has come and I'm left behind. I thought I was so afraid. I had such a fear that I had missed the rapture of the church, because the preacher preached it all the time that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Get ready. The Lord is coming. I believed it. It was in my heart. I still believe it all these years later. And I believe that we need to understand that the coming of the Lord is imminent. Amen. At any moment, he could come. Let me give you a few reasons why I believe that the coming of the Lord is imminent. Number one is the rebuilding, the rebirth of Israel in 1948. Israel's establishment as a nation in 1948. And I can't go through all these scriptures, but read the book of Luke chapter 21. And you'll read the verses that where Jesus talked about Israel's destruction and the dispersion of the Jews, and for hundreds of years dispersed. And it wasn't until 1948 and a miracle. It was a miraculous bringing together of events that caused Israel to be established as a nation. Now, those of you, most in this service today, I was born in 1955, and so I never did know a time when Israel wasn't a nation. But if you understand that it wasn't until 1948, all those many centuries, Israel was scattered. The Jews have been scattered and all over the world. And God miraculously established the nation of Israel and has been bringing them back to Israel. Amen. And doing an amazing work in that nation. Israel was reestablished as a nation in May the 14th, 1948. And then there's a scripture also in Luke chapter 24 that describes this, where Jesus is talking about all of this coming to pass. And he talks about that this generation is not going to pass away. This generation will not pass away. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And most prophecy teachers and students of the Word of God believe that the founding of Israel was a fulfillment of prophecy, and that the generation that saw that take place is also going to see the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so, however you want to define what a generation is, about every prophecy teacher is different.
Some say it's 35 years, 40 years. Some say it's 70 years. How long? It doesn't matter really how long that the generation is. It just simply means that there will be those alive who saw the founding of Israel who will also see the coming of the Lord. That tells you how close we are, because that's been about 63 years ago now. So that lets you know how close that we are to the coming of the Lord, that Jesus is coming. And that's number one reason why I believe that the rapture is an imminent thing. Number two, a last day deception. Last day deception. And if you'll spend some time in Matthew chapter 24, you'll read about the deception of these last days and the warnings of Jesus concerning deception. Matthew 24 and verse number 4. And Jesus answered his disciples after they said, "Lord, how are we going to know the sign? How are we going to know of the end of time and when you are going to come? How will we know?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. And for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And you'll see that theme continuing in Matthew 24 and in other places in the New Testament that are describing events of the last days, a spirit of deception that will be in the world at the time of the coming of the Lord. Now let me just mention three things. I know I've got three things under almost every point here. I don't have enough time to do all I need to do here this morning. I'm going as fast as I can. Number one, and that is one of the areas of deception in these last days, is that many are teaching that you can get to heaven other ways other than through Jesus Christ. That is contrary to the Word of God. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so one area of deception that's very prevalent in our world, it's very prevalent in our society and in our country right now, and that there are many ways to get to heaven. It's not the truth. You have to read the Bible. Read what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ, the one and the only way to get to heaven. Another area of deception, that is the acceptance of perversion and sodomy and that type of a wicked lifestyle that is being taught and promoted in our world today. There are churches established that believe that it's okay to live in that kind of a perverted lifestyle. And it is being more and more accepted. Today, if you teach against gay marriage and against this kind of lifestyle, you are being categorized as a hate monger. You're being categorized as someone that is really destroying our country instead of someone that is building up our country. And so there's a deception in our world as it relates to morality and to what God says about the kind of life that we are to live. Let me tell you, the judgments of God are coming upon America, and these are some of the reasons why. It's because of neglecting of the truths of the Word of God. And then a third thing, and that is there's deception in the area of major doctrines. That's the reason why that I've had this impressed upon my spirit this month of March, that we need to go through many of these major doctrines of the church and have a reminder concerning them, because there are so many new man-made ideas and doctrines that have no foundation in the Word of God. And there is an attack against the doctrines that we believe. Rob Bell, a megachurch pastor, has 10,000 people in his church, and he's come out with this book now. I mentioned it in just a recent service where he is saying that there is not a literal hell. We know that the Bible teaches a literal hell. We know that Jesus himself dealt with the subject of a literal hell. We know what the Bible says about it, and we need to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, and understand that truly that many of these doctrines are being attacked, because sure, who doesn't want to live a life where they don't have to think about a literal hell? And so they just teach it out of existence. They just erase it from the pages of the Word of God. They rationalize it, and they argue with the Word of the Lord. These are some of the areas of deception, and I could go on with many others, but I won't do that. How do we save ourselves in an hour of deception? Only by knowing the Word of God. Be a student of the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. Read it. study it, go through the Word of God and understand that the Word of God is the truth. This is the infallible Word of God. We need to live by it because one day we're going to be judged by it. Amen. And so there, number two is a last day deception. Number three is war and rumors of war. Matthew 24 and verse number 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. You know that there have been over 100 wars since 1990. In the last 21 years, more than 100 wars. We've just got a new war now, just in the last couple of weeks, with the bombing of Libya. And so we have serious conflict in Libya, Afghanistan, and still in Iraq. We have nations that would love to be able, North Korea and Iran both, who are working very hard to become capable of the use of nuclear weapons. And they're working very hard to do that. There's all of this unrest in the Middle East, all these Arab nations, that it's almost as if it's a powder keg that could go off at any time. We can see wars and rumors of wars being fulfilled right before our eyes. Amen. Famines, number four. Famine and disease. Famine and disease. As I got to looking at this, you know, I just cannot hardly believe the circumstance. We live in such a privileged life, such a privileged world, that we do not even understand what's going on all over the world. In Sudan, severe shortages of food threatening the lives of 350,000 people, expected, if things don't change, to rise to 1.6 million people. That's in Sudan. Ethiopia, drought and a very poor harvest have left 800,000 people in need of famine relief. Yeah, that's in Ethiopia. Even in the Philippines, 300,000 families are hungry because of severe drought. In Iraq, infant mortality rate has risen to 6,500 per month. 6,500 per month in Iraq because of the shortages of food and medical supplies. Critical famine in North Korea. That nation is pumping all of their resources into their military to strengthen their military. And one third of the population of North Korea are starving to death. That's the predicament of the world. And I just hit a few highlights there. But that is a fulfillment of what is going on in our world and what the Bible says about famine and disease. Of course, they almost go hand in hand. When there is not medical supplies, when there is not the supply of food, then many times there's disease and all kinds of things. And it's an overwhelming situation all over our world. But be assured that it is a fulfillment of the Word of God. Jesus is coming very soon. Number five, and this doesn't have to be, we don't have any confirmations about this because it's been all over the news for a long time. Number five is earthquakes. Earthquakes increased. You know that between the year 1920 and 1990, a 70-year span, there were only 10 major earthquakes in that span of time. But since that time, there have been more. Let me just tell you, this is mind-boggling. But there were more than 60 earthquakes yesterday, Saturday. Yesterday, more than 60 earthquakes in our world yesterday. And many of them were smaller earthquakes, but some of 15 of them were above 5.0 on the Richter scale. There have been dozens of earthquakes since Japan's major earthquake of 8.9 just a couple of weeks ago, and all in the islands around Japan and on one of the particular coasts of Japan, they are having earthquakes almost every half hour. Some of them 6 point something on the Richter scale. Japan is being literally shaken every few hours by the earthquakes that are taking place. I have a little app on my cell phone that it dings. I've turned the dinger off because it tells me whenever there is an earthquake. I had to turn it off because every 10 or 15 minutes it started dinging. But I was getting all these reminders of the fact that there were earthquakes taking place all over the world, the fulfillment of the prophecy that there would be earthquakes in these last days. Just within the last 15 months, in January 2010, a devastating earthquake in Haiti. In February of 2010, Chile also affected by a devastating earthquake. And then just this month of March, Japan, the largest earthquake on record for 110 years. The earthquake, 8.9 on the Richter scale, has shaken Japan. I want to read this, and you can whatever you think about David Wilkerson is okay. It doesn't matter. I just want to read this for what it's worth. 1974, David Wilkerson put out a book called The Vision. And in his book, he told about a vision that he had. And he wrote about things that were going to come to pass. And let me just read to you a little excerpt from his book, The Vision, in 1974. He says, the United States is going to experience in the not-too-distant future the most tragic earthquake in its history. One day soon, this nation will be reeling under the impact of the biggest news story of modern times. It will be the coverage of the biggest, most disastrous earthquake in history. It will cause widespread panic and fear. Without a doubt, it will become one of the most completely reported earthquakes ever. Television networks will suspend all programming and carry all-day coverage. Another earthquake, possibly in Japan, may precede this one. David Wilkerson wrote this in 1974. And all those years ago that he, I won't read all the rest of these things, but he prophesied in that book that this major earthquake that was going to affect the United States of America would be possibly after a major earthquake in Japan. Believe what you will about Wilkerson's prophecies, but let me tell you, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And I believe we better get ready. We better get ready, for the Lord is coming very, very soon. Earthquakes. Number 6, increase in knowledge and travel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel prophesied of one of the things that would be taking place at the end time. And those things were an increase in knowledge and in travel. Let me tell you what you can do right now. If you have access to the internet, you could go on the internet right now. You could buy a ticket to anywhere just about in the world today online. You could do it in the next 15 minutes. You could go to the airport. You'd pay a big price for it. I'm just telling you what's possible. You could go to the airport probably this evening or in the morning and get on a plane and be just about anywhere in the world within 24 hours. That would have, a couple of generations back, no one would have ever believed that we would have the capability of this. And what is so surprising is that people are traveling and moving and going everywhere. It's such a mobile society. And Daniel said that the last days will be characterized by this kind of increase in travel all over the world. And the increase in knowledge. Increase in knowledge. I know, counter to what Al Gore said, he did not necessarily invent the internet. But in the last 20 years, I looked into this just a little bit, the internet, and some of the things that led to the internet have been in the works for several decades. But in the last 20 years, the internet, the World Wide Web, has become something familiar to the common. Anybody can do it. You can get on a $300 computer and you can travel and you can go all over the world. You can talk to people all over the world. You can communicate. You can see things all over the world. It is unbelievable. I don't have one, but I got my wife a new phone for her birthday, and it's an iPhone 4. She has the capability on her phone to do what they call face talking. She could call someone like her kids or her grandkids, and if they've got the same kind of phone, their picture, they'll come up and they can talk face to face. That's the technology of the day that we have right now. And things are changing so fast that if you've got a computer that's 6 months old, Brother James Hacker thinks that you're like in you're antiquated. You've got an antique. If your computer is 6 months old, because you got to get this new thing and these new gadgets and these new things that are available. What? You mean you don't have this on your computer? It's because things are happening so quick and things are changing so fast. Some of you probably didn't know it, but a couple of services back, Brother James was handling all this stuff that we're putting up on the screen. He was doing it from his seat back there. He had his little iPad, and he was doing it with his fingers, and he was putting all these things up on the screen, sitting back here at the seat. He must have forgot it this morning. Increase in knowledge and travel. It's happening. That's only in one area. Number 7, the persecution of the church. Persecution of the church. Then shall they deliver you up. This is Matthew 24 and verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We are now faced with a predicament that we've never been faced for before here in the United States of America. And as it's coming very quickly to a time when if you preach the whole counsel of God, you're going to be arrested. If you preach the word of God, you're going to be arrested or you're going to lose your tax exemption status. That's just around the corner. If you believe what the Bible says and you're willing to preach and declare the whole counsel of God, there is persecution. It's unimaginable, last year there were 163,000 Christians who died for their faith. Last year, we thought that was back in the days of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and all of those at some other age or century. But no, 163,000 Christians died for their faith right now. I looked up on a website, the nations that are considered to be where you can't preach the gospel for fear of arrest. And there are dozens of them. It's not just a few little isolated countries. Dozens of countries where if you go in and try to freely preach the gospel, you're going to be arrested, you're going to pay a penalty or a fine, and in some of those places, you'll be imprisoned and even your life threatened. Persecution of the church. Half of the Christians who have ever died for their faith have done so in the last century. 35 million. Last 100 years have given their life for the gospel's sake. Persecution of the church. And one more. There's a lot more than just 8. But I'm out of time. This last one is very important. Number 8 is Christians leaving their first love. Christians leaving their first love. Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, because of the present culture and the society that is so lawless and so not wanting to have any restriction or any laws or rules upon them, because that's the society that we live in, because iniquity it abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. We live in a time in the church when the fervency and the zeal and the love for God is almost non-existent. We admire people like B.H. Clendenin because he was of another generation and he had a fire in his soul. He had a determination, a grit. I mean, he was strong. And it wasn't just because he was a Marine in his earlier days. It was just because he got a hold of something and he never let go of that commitment that he made to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're very quickly losing men and women of that generation. And what's happening is that the succeeding generation is more soft. We're more soft. Our commitment is much more lax. Our desire for the thing. This is a generation that the coming of the Lord is going to come in a generation when our love is waxed cold. We've just cooled off. We've cooled off. Instead of, being at church every time, you're just there if you need to be or can be. And every other area of our lives and our ministries and our commitment to God, we just cool off in our zeal for God, in our love for God, in our commitment to prayer. And the list goes on of the areas of our life where we are cooling off. And that ought to concern us. That ought to concern us. That could happen at the very moment. The last days, just at the time when Jesus comes. Is he going to find faith in the earth? Is he going to find a man and a woman and a family and a people of God who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ and they have a zeal and a fire in their soul to serve the Lord and to do all they can to please the Lord? It's a sad time that we're living in when people are cooling off, but throwing aside their former convictions. That's not important anymore. They're arguing with the Word of God. They're arguing with what they have been taught because they're cooling off. They don't want to make any commitments. They don't like any restrictions. They don't want any rules or any guidelines in their life. It's just, I want to do what I want to do. What pleases me. That is what Jesus said is going to be taking place. Their love is going to cool off. Their love for God is going to cool off. And that's what's happening all across our nation. The backsliding, the turning away, the cooling off. Very moment when Jesus is going to come. Let me tell you, it's a trick of the enemy to get us to forsake our commitments to the Lord. The coming of the Lord is imminent. Amen. It could come at any time. He could come at any moment. Are you ready? Have you made preparation for the coming of the Lord? Is it something you look forward to or down deep in your spirit? Do you dread even the discussion about the end times and prophecies? I've known of people before that as soon as you start talking about the last days, about prophecy, they close their ears and say, I don't want to hear about that now. I don't want to hear about that. But the church, for the church, the Bible says it is the blessed hope of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the hope of the church. It's the hope that we're going to be with the Lord soon. It's the hope that we're going to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? So I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Before we come and pray around the altars, I want to point this altar call to two different types of people. There may be some here today and you know in your heart you're not right. You're not a Christian. You know you need to get right. You know you're if Jesus comes today, you're not ready. You know you're not ready. Then you need to get ready this morning. You need to prepare yourself. And then prepare your family and your children, your loved ones. And help them to see that we're living the very last moments of time. So if you're not a Christian this morning, this altar call is for you. And then for others of us here this morning, Christians, have you cooled off? Your zeal for God, your love for God, have you cooled off? Hallelujah. This is between you and the Lord. But you know where you stand. You know about your commitment to the Lord. If you've cooled off, you need to get in the presence of God. You need to repent of your backslidden ways. You need to repent of your iniquity, your stubbornness, your lawlessness. You need to repent of allowing this culture, this world to affect you and your thinking, and ask the Lord to light the fire once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. If you would, all over this congregation. Let's stand. The Lord is coming soon. While we're singing this chorus, you want to make sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. We're going to open the altars for everyone to come. Let's pray together. Let's call upon the Lord in this service this morning. Would you do that? The altars are open for everybody that would like to come. Whether you're a Christian that needs to be refired, or maybe you've never really known the Lord, then I urge you to come. Be saved. Be born again. Let the Lord do a work in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come. Let's believe God. Let's pray together.
and new.